This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
African Podcast, December 7, 2006, and welcome to another edition of PAUS, the African Podcast, brought to you by Africa Files in association with the Rabble Podcast Network. Today we are talking about the Democratic Republic of Congo, a country the size of Western Europe. A civil war has been raging on in that country for more than a decade, costing the lives of more than 4 million people. Hugh McCallum went to Central Africa to cover the Congo election in July and August, and he recently posted a story on his travels on Africa Files. He has some very pertinent questions. Can Congo be saved? You can read this and other stories on various issues at www.africafiles.org.
Do you care about social and economic justice? Join Africa Files, a network of volunteers committed to promoting African perspectives and alternative analysis for human rights and economic justice in Africa. Visit www.africafiles.org.
My name is Khadija. I'm from Chad. My family is still there. I'm here on my own. I live with my uncle and I go to school. I'm studying business. I work for my uncle selling newspaper on this corner, Monday through Friday, 2 to 7. He paid me $5 an hour. I have friends that I met in school. I don't have time to hang out though. Every minute of the day is accounted for. My uncle knows when I leave school and how long it takes me to get to work to get home.
That is a clip from the short film News Girl, story of Khadija, a girl from Chad who sells newspapers on the streets of New York. Joining me today from New York via the phone is Tara Milutis, who is the director and producer of the film. Welcome to PAUS.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Film has a touching subject, Khadija. How did you meet her?
September afternoon, and I was walking in Midtown to Grand Central Station, and I saw her on a corner. She just was a vision. This just beautiful, elegant girl with this vibrant purple hijab, and it just was such a juxtaposition against just sort of like this dreary Midtown afternoon. And, it just seemed, she seemed so out of place there for whatever reason. And I decided, to go and speak to her because I thought that she would be a great subject for a video. And, my experience speaking to her was something that really affected me on a deep level.
Now, how did you get her to talk to you? Did you just walk up to her and say, hi, I'm Tara?
The first time I saw her, I walked past her, because I wasn't sure if I really was in the mood to talk to her, because, a lot of times when I approach people, to do film projects like this, it takes a lot of energy to talk to a stranger and to sort of sell myself to them. So I was, contemplating whether or not I wanted to do it or not, and then I said, I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by, and I went over and I introduced myself to her. And, just the sweetest girl. She was so, so surprised that I was even speaking to her, and it seemed like she had never even had anybody talk to her on the job other than, to ask for change and or to complain about something. When I told her that I thought that she would be an interesting subject for a film, that just was even more unbelievable to her, that I would actually think that there was anything in her that would be worthy of a film. And, she probably couldn't really see what it was about her that made her so special just from an outsider's perspective.
earlier on, you described her as vibrant as Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the thing that was so shocking to me. Not shocking, but that was the thing that really was so arresting to me when I saw her, was because she, you know, as many African women are, is just absolutely beautiful. And she had these flip-flops on, and it was just, everything was just so elegant. She just had such an incredible presence and poise to her.
What was the first thing that went through your mind when you saw her?
The first thing that I thought of when I saw her was just, wow, like, because I'm very interested in cultural juxtapositions and immigrant experiences in New York, and this just seemed like a really huge juxtaposition, very huge.
What kind of relationship exists between Khadija and her uncle?
You know, I don't know that much about Muslim culture, and I would never want to cast any assumptions or generalizations on it, but I think that she was living in a very traditional male dominated Islamic home life here in New York with her uncle, and I think that he was being very strict with her, and he was being very controlling with her. And I thought, wow, like, and I asked her, I said, how is it to be going to school and to be around all of these American girls? And, you know, of course, there are plenty of, people from all different countries that are going to that school. But, you know, once they get here, they sort of become more American. And so for her, I would think that it would be hard, you know, that she is around these people that are living the American life and that are studying to have independence and to better themselves and to have, you know, a life after school, and yet to be controlled like this. So I found it like very paradoxical for her that I almost thought, well, what's the point of her going to school? And I know that that's very cynical, and I don't know the whole story, but it seemed like it must have been difficult for her. And she, again, you know, she was very reticent, you know, throughout the whole time that we talked. But she did, you know, she said, and from her eyes and from her face and from the little things that she said, you know, she said, yes, it is very difficult. And then she went on to tell me about how he took her cell phone the week before, which it comes up in the film, and how, you know, how aggressive an act she thought that was, and how when her friends would call, he would say, don't call Khadija again. And hang up.
Despite her fear of her uncle, there's a sense of strength, I believe, that underlies the monologue. Is there a relation between this film and what is going on and what was going on in your life at this particular time?
Khadija, as different as she is from me, at that particular moment in time, the two of us almost mirrored each other in a way, because I had just broken off an engagement to my fiancé, who I ended up realizing emotionally and mentally abusing me. No physical abuse, but real terrible stuff. And, you know, I was in a very dark place. I was very unhappy. I was very, I was very lost. And maybe this is what drew me to Khadija. Maybe I sensed this in her. I don't know what it was exactly, but when we started talking about her uncle and more of the details about her life, and I could see in her face, I think maybe it was something in her face that I responded to. I don't know what it was, but ultimately by the end of this meeting, you know, I said to her, I said, you know, Khadija, you know, I know that this might be hard to believe, but I feel like we have a lot in common. I feel like we're experiencing something very similar. And I told her, I said, it's not easy being a woman, is it? And she looked at me and she said, no, it's not. The thing that made me sad about the whole experience is that that was a time for me, and even though it was a very difficult time for me, it was a very liberating time for me as well, because I had made the decision to leave my fiancé. I was able to walk away, and I had that option. And Khadija doesn't. And I don't know what's going to happen to Khadija. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen to her, and I don't know if she's ever going to really be able to break away from that, because maybe that's part of the decision in being a Muslim woman. And I know that everybody's situation is different. Unfortunately, I think that because her family is in Chad and they're so poor, and, you know, I know what's going on in Chad right now is, you know, it's just this spillover from from Sudan, you know, the Janjaweed, and it's just a very dangerous place. It's just, and her parent, you know, so her being in New York, there's a lot of different things going on. It's like you can look at her even as a refugee in a sense.
From New York to Ethiopia, Mahmoud Ahmed coming up next as we take a musical break. Ahmed is a magnificent singer from Ethiopia. When we come back, Tara will talk more about her work. Welcome back. Tell me more about your work as a short film producer.
You know, I do a lot of short content work where I find people that I'm interested in. Usually, I'm usually interested in people of mixed races. Again, I think that has a lot to do with juxtaposition, cultural juxtaposition, which seems to be something that I'm inspired by. So, you know, I kind of find people that I find are interesting, and then I write these voiceovers, and what I tend to do is I tend to fuse, it tends to be mostly about them, but then I always infuse something of myself into them. Like, for example, in News Girl, when she talks about her friend who was engaged, that's me. And, you know, that was a little bit of artistic license that I threw in there. But so, you know, I brought a bit of myself into that film. But so I think that in general, with the Khadija, I think it was the most time that I really felt like, you know, she was mirroring me. Other times I think that I create that mirror, in a sense, because I think I project myself onto my subjects. But again, I think that ultimately I'm attracted to people that possibly have something going on in their lives that I think is interesting, and the reason why I probably think that's interesting is because I think it's relevant to my life, possibly. And the one thing that I really realize, and what's great about the work that I do, is that every film that I do and every person that I work with helps me to understand who I am more, and it helps me to just broaden my perspective on life and on people in general, and so it's just a constant learning experience, and it's really great. I'm really thrilled to be able to be doing this with my life.
Every artist has something that motivates or inspires them. What motivates you to make short films?
The world is such a beautiful place, and it can be seen in such small, minute ways. It doesn't have to be something that's so big and obvious. And, you know, so that's something that I really strive in my work is to express things that are more subtle, I guess. But what inspires me, you know, I'm inspired by people. I'm just inspired by, you know, how so many, you can walk down a street and, you know, if there's like 15 people on the street, chances are that, you know, those 15 people are going to have some, you know, incredible stories to tell. And I hate television and I never watch TV. And the one thing that depresses me so much about TV and about a lot of these, like, big Cineplex blockbuster movies is that it's just, it's avoiding the real issues of, like, humanity. And I think that it ultimately ends up being divisive, that kind of entertainment, instead of, you know, something that unifies people.
Tara, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you very much for joining us. I hope you won't forget us here at Pulse when you get your Oscar.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks as well to our listeners. We'll leave you listening to a song from Nigeria. The group is Two Face Idibia. We are dedicating this song today to Khadija, somewhere in New York.
Yeah, yeah, you are my African queen. Ooh, Lord, ooh, Lord. Just like the sun lights up the earth, you light up my life. The only one I ever see with a smile so bright. Hey, and just yesterday, you came around my way. You changed my whole scene way with your astonishing beauty. Oh, you couldn't make a brother sing. No ordinary thing, a supernatural being. And no, you are brighter than the moon, brighter than the star. I love you just the way you are. And you are my African queen, the girl of my dreams. You take me where I've never been, yeah. You make my heart go ding-a-ling-a-ling. Oh, you are my African queen, the girl of my dreams. And you remind me of a thing, and that is the African beauty. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, you are my African queen. Oh, Lord, ooh, Lord. Out of a million, you stand as one, the outstanding one. I look into your eyes, girl, what I see is paradise. Hey, you captivated my soul. Now every day I want you more. I cannot deny this feeling I'm feeling inside. Hey, no one cannot take your place. You cannot take your space. It's a fact I cannot erase. And no, you are the one that makes me smile. Make me float like a boat upon the Nile. Girl, you are my African queen, the girl of my dreams. You take me where I've never been. You make my heart go ding-a-ling-a-ling. Yeah, you are my African queen, the girl of my dreams. And you remind me of a thing, and that is the African beauty. Yes, I know, you are my African queen, and I know, see I know what I am feeling in my heart and in my soul. Oh, I know that it's this love, and I know that this love was surely sent from up above, 'cause you're the only one that I think of. You are my African queen.